Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Wholesale lumber to the public, you got it, at rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are trying to get a hot tub, you have probably found out it's hard to get one these days because with COVID, the supply chains broke down, and now it is affecting wood and plastic. So it takes a while to get a hot tub when you go to most places. And if you do decide to wait, the prices are going to be higher because the price of wood has gone up. The price of plastic has gone up. Got some good news for you. Got a hot tub outlet in Littleton? You're not going to have that problem. For starters, they have two warehouses of hot tubs ready to sell, 15 different models, so you can buy it right now, and you're not going to have to face that price increase either. So that's a daily double. Those are two reasons why you want to buy from Hot Tub Outlet. Not to mention, they have truckloads of hot tubs that are delivered every month as well. And don't forget, when you buy from Hot Tub Outlet, unlike the other guys, everything is made in the United States. Great quality, of course, best insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to hottuboutletdenver.com right now. So if that sounds like you or someone you know, get them over there or get yourself over there. Don't wait. Don't pay too much. Hot Tub Outlet. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Well, you can make the case, and the case has certainly been made, that Drew Lock has some reasons for struggling during the first 2 years of his career. Now he's going into his third year. His rookie year, understandable. He's a rookie. Yes, we could talk about Joe Burrow. Yes, we could talk about Justin Herbert. But those type of guys don't come along very often. Those guys, to me, are outliers. Those guys, to me, are not the norm. Also, one guy was taken first overall. The other guy was a top five pick. With that, you look at Drew Lock's second year. Certainly thrown out of whack, like everybody else, because of COVID and a new offensive coordinator. Again, you could look at Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. New offensive coordinator, rookies, COVID. Again, to me, they are outliers. But no matter how he plays this season, can you think of any more excuses for him? Or how he plays this year is truly, he is who he is.
There are going to be people who make the excuse of saying that Pat Shurmur is not the right offensive coordinator for him.
You know what? Argument, I'm sorry, no longer washes with
I would agree. I'm saying going to be people, if Drew Lock struggles, there are going to be people who will say Shurmur is a reason why, that if he had better coaching, blah, blah, blah.
How about David Shula? Mike Shula.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I would say his quarterback coach is considered one of the better quarterback coaches of the last 25 years in the NFL.
Right.
His quarterback coach literally developed a guy whose skills, who had talent in Cam Newton, a lot of talent, number one overall pick, but whose skill set was unusual for a franchise quarterback, and developed him into an MVP.
Right.
Mike Shula, in John Fox's parlance, has skins on the wall. And the other thing is this. You know, the old cliche about it's the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it comes down to the quality of the player. And if you are a franchise quarterback, you're probably going to be able to overcome any perceived issues in coaching. And frankly, Pat Shurmur, I don't think there are great issues. Is he a top three, top four offensive coordinator? Probably not. Is he an average offensive coordinator, a guy who's coached a long time, has had some success? Sure, yeah. Pat Shurmur is not a bad offensive coordinator.
How good is Bruce Arians as an offensive coordinator?
Very good, but he's also, you also have to consider the material he's worked with. He got to work with Peyton Manning.
Right.
Got to work with Ben Roethlisberger.
But as a play caller, play designer.
He's above average.
But he's not top five.
He's probably top 10.
Okay. Well, Tom Brady fit in pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah.
First year. Now, granted,
don't forget Byron
Leftwich,
but Byron Leftwich was calling a lot of the plays.
There we go.
Yes.
So there are plenty of quarterbacks who maybe didn't play with great offensive coordinators who are still very good. And then I'm sure the opposite is true as well.
Would you call Adam Gase a great offensive coordinator?
No, I wouldn't.
And look what Peyton Manning did with him.
Well, it was Peyton Manning's offense.
Exactly.
If we're being fair.
But that's the thing. I'm not saying Drew Lock is Peyton Manning or close to it, but if you are a quarterback of a certain level, you're going to be able to do reasonably well regardless of who's calling the plays. Like right. Matt Ryan, for example. Matt Ryan is a good above average quarterback.
Right.
You gave him Kyle Shanahan, yep. He was a league MVP.
Correct.
The years he hasn't had Kyle Shanahan, not quite as good, but still an above average starting quarterback around whom you can build because Matt Ryan has the raw material both in terms of his arm talent and in terms of his intellect and football mind to be a good quarterback.
Let's say Locke gets beaten out by Bridgewater, okay? But Locke plays maybe 2-3 games mm-hmm. if Bridgewater can't make it the entire season. And Locke is not overly impressive. He has one really good game, then two games that aren't very good, which goes to consistency, which is why he probably has competition at the quarterback position. What should the Broncos do with him? Should they give him another let's say they don't get Aaron Rodgers. Should they give him another shot to be a starter next year? Should they look at him and say, Drew, you are not going to be competing really for a starting job. You will be our backup. Or did they say going into year four, which is his contract year, you know what? We've done the best we can with you, and we're going to be looking for new quarterbacks, plural.
I think the most likely outcome is the last one. Change of scenery for him in the last year of his deal, and the Broncos go in a different direction. Now, if that's the draft, free agency, some combination of both, we'll see. I mean, this name may make people shudder, but if the Vikings move on from Kirk Cousins, you think George Payton might try to bring him in?
He will, but I can't even imagine what he's going to cost.
And that's the thing. And I would hope that would not be
because his performance doesn't justify it.
And that's
the
thing. If you pay an elite quarterback elite level money, that's fine because you're getting elite production.
Right.
The problem is when you give a second or third tier quarterback huge money in terms of how much that chews up of your cap. My argument is this. If the Broncos don't get Aaron Rodgers, and if Deshaun Watson is not exonerated with everything going on in Houston, and neither Bridgewater nor Locke turn out to be the guy in 2021.
Well, do you really think Bridgewater is going to turn out to be the guy?
I think
knowing his history, do you really think he's going to turn out to be the guy?
Or do you think, if
you had to bet on it right now, Bridgewater is going to start all 16 games. Do you think they look for an upgrade?
I think they would bring him back for a moderate contract and they would draft his successor. The question is, what level of the draft are they doing it? Because if they have that type of season, they're probably picking in the 20s. But to get the quarterback who could be your franchise guy, you would probably have to move up and sacrifice some future draft capital to do it.
And I know what your narrative is going to be. I already know exactly what you're going to say next year. If they're sitting at 20 in the draft and they need to draft a quarterback, I can tell you exactly what you are going to say. Would you like me to tell you what you're going to say?
I want to see if you've predicted this.
I know I've predicted it.
Tell
you what. I am so confident that I know what you're going to say. Do I have a dollar on me? I have a dollar on me. Now, for me,
a whole dollar.
For me to predict what you are going to say,
maybe I'll buy part of a soda with this.
Are you willing to give me 2-to-1 odds that I'm going to read your mind? Meaning, I get $2 from you, or you get my dollar.
It's pretty hard to read somebody's mind. Let's do it.
You're going to say the Broncos should have made a trade with the Bears to get an extra draft pick in order to move up even higher.
That was part of my answer.
There we go. You owe me $2.
That was part of my answer.
No, you owe me $2 because that was the answer.
But
That was the answer.
But because that is out of range, they probably have to think about trading a future first round pick to move up. So it'd be your 2023.
No, we all know that. Yeah. But your whole point is draft capital.
Exactly. So as long as the quarterback
can trade a future draft pick.
But they wouldn't have had to trade a future draft pick if they would have taken the offer from Chicago.
Good.
Chicago.
Thank you for making my point. Now you owe me $2.
Yeah.
Now you owe me $2.
I already told you won.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't hand me my dollar back. Hand me three back, not one.
Well,
gave me my own dollar.
I have to reach into my wallet in the commercial and get you the other two. But the other part of my answer was going to be that you trade up, and then who are you talking about? We can say with certainty you could be talking about Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell.
Right.
But then who are the other names that enter the chat? Keep your eye on Emory Jones at Florida. Keep your eye on Malik Willis from Liberty University, among others. Keaton Slovis at USC, if he can stay healthy. Desmond Ridder at the University of Cincinnati. These are guys that we would have a lot of conversations about if neither Locke nor Bridgewater are the guy.
Coming up after the break, the worst-kept secret in football has been leaked. The question is, was it strategically leaked today? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you're looking for something fun to do this weekend or any weekend, you need to rent a car from Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Just go to their website, denverexoticrentalcars.com, and hit the drop-down box, the garage, and you can see what you can rent, like a Lamborghini, a McLaren, a Ferrari, a Maserati. You're not going to budget rent a car here and getting yourself a Ford Taurus. You are getting something exotic and something that you have always wanted to drive. Why not do it today? Hey, give them a call right now at 720-722-1234 and try and get something for Father's Day. Yeah, it is coming up. Do it for a birthday. Just do it for fun. Denver Exotic Rental Cars, what they do is fantastic. Go to denverexoticrentalcars.com and see their fleet of luxurious automobiles or give them a call today, 720-722-1234. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
Okay, so an anonymous general manager went on a television sports program today. And you know what? I'll give him a little publicity, although I can't find him on the dial. It was Skip Bayless's show on FS1. I have no idea where it is. He does the show with Shannon Sharp. And this anonymous GM said that Rodgers' teammates don't like him. Bayless put this on Twitter today. Would you like to know what my response? And I used to work with Skip Bayless. I can't say that I know him very well now, but would you like to know what I responded to Skip Bayless?
Sure, tell me.
This is one of the worst kept secrets in sports. You're finally realizing this now. Do your job. This should not be a shock to anybody who knows the NFL well or certainly understands the Green Bay Packers. And this is what Skip put on. Anonymous GM says Aaron Rodgers' teammates don't like him. We debate it now. What's the debate? We've already known that his teammates don't like him. The question, though, is this. Do you think the Packers were directly or indirectly involved for leaking this story so now they have another reason to have an excuse to trade Rodgers to quell the fan base?
Oh, I think the leak was inside that house. And yep. But here's the thing. Like you said, it's a poorly kept secret. People know this.
I've been saying this to my father
for
years, who's a diehard Packer fan. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, Dad, trust me, I do.
Yeah, there are teammates that don't like Aaron Rodgers. Now, there are some...
Not the whole team.
No. Now, there are some teammates that will lay down in traffic for him. And, you know, generally speaking, these are the guys that you need around you as a quarterback to win.
Bakhtiari, Devontae
The line,
Adams.
The receivers. Right. Basically, the offensive guys will tend to go wherever he's pointing.
Right.
And some defensive guys as well. Like, we know A.J. Hawk loves the dude. Okay?
Right.
And other guys.
That was a long time ago. Bakhtiari, Devontae Adams.
But yes.
Right.
But here's the thing. There are great players who are not necessarily liked, but are they respected for their skills and their work? And are they even maybe feared a little bit? You know, Peyton Manning wasn't liked by everybody in the Bronco locker room.
No question about it.
And the Colt locker room. But they respected him.
Yep.
They at times even feared him a little bit. Michael Jordan wasn't well liked by teammates, but they respected him and feared him. Maybe it's not so much fear with Aaron Rodgers, but there is a respect for his skill set. There is a respect for his work ethic when he is there. And there is a respect for what he can do to drive an organization to being in championship contention.
Can you think of any athlete in sports history where the guy was a superstar, he wasn't liked by his teammates, and he wasn't respected either? Because I thought of somebody today.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if you have anybody.
That wasn't liked or respected, but they were a superstar.
Yes.
Wow.
Where it was flat out toxic.
Hmm. That's a good question because I think of
some... It was recent.
Because I think of some guys like Terrell Owens... A lot of teammates would just kind of throw up their hands.
Right.
But they respected his work when he was there.
And he worked hard.
He worked his
This guy
butt
did,
off.
The guy I'm talking about did not work. Did not want to go to practice. Showed up late for practice. And was a superstar.
Tell me.
James Harden with the Houston
Ooh,
Rockets.
Ooh, that's right. That's great. That's a great pull.
Toxic.
He's working hard now.
Because he's playing
hurt.
Because he's playing with Kevin Durant.
He's the second banana.
And he's playing with Kyrie Irving, his friends.
Yeah.
You know, there was a saying, if Carmelo Anthony played with his friends, like a Chris Paul, like a LeBron James.
Chris Paul's everybody's friend, it seems like.
Right, though. Right. But if Carmelo Anthony could play a complete game like he would with the Olympic team, with Paul and LeBron, who he respected, what kind of player could you truly have? Mm-hmm. But James Harden was despised by his teammates, including a guy who's not easy to get along with, Russell Westbrook. But Russell Westbrook works. And James Harden didn't. He just didn't.
Especially on the defensive end.
No, I'm talking about...
In practice, I know. Mean, like showing up late. James Harden did the bare minimum.
James Harden would set the practice schedules. According to reports, he would decide whether or not to have practice. He would show up when he felt like it. So they had no respect for him. And they certainly didn't like him because of it. They knew he was a superstar. But Aaron Rodgers, it's a worst kept secret out there. It is. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story that was told to me by somebody who's covered the Packers for a long time. There was Aaron Rodgers, before he played with Matt LaFleur, as the head coach, would have the propensity to hold onto the ball for a long time, never wanted to check down, and always wanted to go for the home run pass. Sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
Before Matt LaFleur got there. And you can imagine with Rodgers holding the ball as long as he does, that takes a toll on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And one of his offensive linemen walked up to, I think it was in a practice or a preseason game, and walked up to Aaron Rodgers and said, if you keep holding onto the ball, going for the home run, and not taking the easy pass downfield, I am going to release my block. That guy, by the way, subsequently found himself on the Chicago Bears roster the next season. Hmm. Chad Clifton, was he an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's who it was. It was Chad Clifton, according to the person mm-hmm. who told me the story, who I trusted.
But he never ended up in Chicago, though.
Then it was another guy.
Was it Josh Sitton, maybe?
It's Josh Sitton. There we go.
Yeah.
See, Clifton Sitton and all signed. I know it ends with the letter N.
Sitton did play for Chicago.
Yes. Next season.
Uh-huh.
He went from the Bears. He went and he played guard. He went from the Bears.
Yeah.
He went from the Packers to the Bears. And I can't remember if that happened midseason, if it happened during the preseason, it happened during training camp, but he was out pretty quick.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I got my ends.
He was cut.
There we go.
On September 3rd. He was a deadline cut in 2016.
There you go. So now the story adds up. Mm-hmm. So it happened like in a preseason game, or it happened in training camp, and words were said between the two of them, and I'm sure Rodgers said, I don't want this guy around anymore. How many more years did he play after that?
Sitton played 2 seasons with the Bears, 1 season with Miami.
Oh, so he wasn't so bad where his career was over. He continued to play, so clearly he was good enough, right? It's not like his career ended.
He actually made the Pro Bowl once with the Bears.
Ah, so Aaron Rodgers ran a Pro Bowl offensive lineman off the roster because his feelings were hurt. Yeah. By the way, if Aaron Rodgers comes here, I will not be asking him about Josh Sitton.
I bet you won't.
I won't.
You'll be asking about Jeopardy before you ask about Josh Sitton.
If he's willing to cut off his family, he'll be willing to cut off me just as fast, if not sooner. Coming up after the break. Do you remember that viral video at Ball Arena where a Nuggets fan went after a Suns fan and the Suns fan beat the hell out of him? Well, guess what? This guy is being treated like a hero. This Suns fan, better known as Suns and Four, that guy is being treated like a hero by Devin Booker. That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, talking about wholesale, go to RockyMountainForestProducts.com. That's RMFP.com. By the way, feel free to take us on the go. We got a great signal on our app all over the world. Download it, Mile High Sports, or listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3.
Or even if you're on Alexa. Like my parents listen via Alexa. They simply say, Alexa, play Mile High Sports Radio. Boom.
They're That's listening awesome. To
our show, anything else here on the station throughout the day.
Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Hot Tub Outlet. As other hot tub stores in town make you wait 12 weeks, get your new hot tub today at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to HotTubOutletDenver.com.
Okay, Devin Booker and his reps have found the guy who was yelling Suns and Four at Ball Arena when the Nuggets were playing the Suns. The guy who was yelling Suns and Four, in all fairness, was attacked by a Nuggets fan. Let's just call it like it is. He was attacked by a Nuggets fan, and oh, by the way, this Suns fan is a Denver native. Well, the Suns fan wasn't having any of it, and he beat the hell out of him. I mean, he threw a couple of haymakers at this guy. So Booker went on Twitter trying to find him, did find him, and he is rewarding this guy with a signed Booker jersey and a couple of seats to the Western Conference Finals. Longtime ESPN anchor Bob Lee posted this on Twitter in reaction to what Booker and his reps did. Maybe I'm just being a drip, but it feels a little weird to see an NBA team explicitly rewarding violence right after everyone spent a few weeks fretting about bad fan behavior in arenas. Who do you agree with, Lee or the guy who you can make the case defended himself? He didn't throw the first punch.
Yeah.
He was chirping a lot, but he defended himself and then really finished the Nuggets fan off.
Yeah, and if you don't throw the first punch, I think you're entitled to do whatever it takes to defend yourself. Had he thrown the first punch, absolutely he wouldn't merit this. But what is he supposed to do? Just take it? I mean, unfortunately, sometimes you have to defend yourself. And so I really don't have a problem with this. Yeah, he was chirping. You know what? You go to a sporting event, people yell, people boast, people taunt a little bit. It's just verbal. It's part of the experience. You know,
really? Let me ask you a question. Yeah. How would you feel if you and your daughter, Charlotte, were sitting two rows behind it? Would you say it's just part of the experience?
As long as there wasn't cursing involved. In that case,
well, of course there's cursing involved.
Well, then you probably go to the usher at that point.
No,
you don't let it get to a physical encounter.
We're taking a step back.
Yeah.
You said it's part of the experience. Clearly, there was cursing involved.
Well, Donis, I mean, I didn't know if there was cursing.
Well,
I didn't hear what he was saying.
You know what? I'd be willing to bet my house against a cup of coffee there was cursing involved.
And that's probably where, if you've got kids in the stands, that's where it crossed the line. But it's
so not, is it part of the... So if you and your daughter, yeah. Charlotte, are sitting there, like you see at football games all the time, right? Yeah. You don't see it in basketball arenas as much. But with the playoffs, you're seeing it, obviously, at Ball Arena, but you see it in football constantly. So you just said, well, it's part of the fan experience.
Not if it crosses the line to where it's not a family-friendly environment.
Okay.
But in that case, then it's on the people working at the arena, the ushers, to try to control that person.
Well, the ushers have to come down. The deed has already been done when verbal jabs have been thrown back and forth, or probably with the language, haymakers. So it really isn't just part of the experience, is it?
It's part of the experience if it's clean.
Well, it's never clean, especially when people have alcohol in them. It's never clean.
Not
how many people do you know argue that don't use curse words, with the exception of Philip Rivers, in a sporting venue?
Maybe the greatest heckler in the history of the NBA was Robin Ficker
at the
old Washington Bullets games, and he never cursed.
Listen, let's not cherry pick the outlier. When a lot of people are about to get into a fight, F-bombs are thrown all the time. We both know that.
But when it's crossing over into a fight, that's where it does cross the line.
So it's not part of the experience then, is it? If you have two guys going after each other and yelling at each other and cursing at each other in front of a bunch of other people.
But I didn't know if they were cursing.
Oh, come on. I'm going to guess they were.
Okay, fine.
So let's just say they
forgive me for assuming that maybe the people carried themselves with even a shred.
They threw punches. You think they were keeping it clean?
At that point, that's on the other side of the line, and that's a problem.
So,
but again, he did. He no matter what he was saying, he didn't deserve to get attacked physically.
I agree. So with that, do you back Booker and his reps, giving this guy some tickets and a signed jersey as a, hey, you're a Suns fan and good for you for defending yourself, or do you agree more with Bob Lee?
I don't think either of them are 100% right, but I'd probably go more for Booker's side of it.
I think Bob Lee's 100% correct, and I'll tell you why. This guy has a right to defend himself, but it doesn't mean he should be rewarded. He defended himself, because now what you're saying is, it's okay to throw punches. I know he defended
even in your own defense.
He did throw them in his defense. I get it.
Was he supposed to stand there and just
pummeling? No. He reacted in the right way, but he should not be rewarded for it and held up as this great Suns fan who defended the Phoenix Suns' honor in a hostile territory because that's how this is being played out.
You think we're making too much of this?
No, I don't. Well, yeah, maybe we are. Maybe we are making too much of it. But if you throw punches, even in defense, you should not be rewarded. You should have a right to do it, but you shouldn't get cash for it or prizes like it's a game show. You have a right to defend yourself. But no, you should not be rewarded because you know what happened here? Now this has become a story and people like us are talking about it and we're giving both guys publicity that they should not get.
I mean, the person who threw the first punch probably deserves the publicity less than the person who was just defending themselves.
No, the guy who threw the first punch should get the publicity. You know why? This guy got his ass kicked. And he should have. That's the publicity this guy should get. But no, I would not reward him with courtside seats to the next game. And you hold him up on your shoulders and carry him off the field like he's representing us. He's representing the P. He's representing Phoenix. He's representing the 602.
Did you say he's representing the P?
Phoenix. He's representing.
But on the surface, you say he's representing the
you
P.
You know what I mean.
I mean, it sounds like he's representative. He's representing.
He's
Austin.
He's repping the 602, baby, because 602ers don't take that from 303ers. We don't start fights, but we finish them, and we get rewarded with Devin Booker signed jerseys.
What if they're a 720er?
You know what I mean, smartass. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the Rockies' next series, a four-game homestand after they had three straight wins against the Padres. Also, we'll get into a little bit of the NBA coaching carousel. A lot of news on that front recently. That's all coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. You're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail. Wholesale, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the Rockies back in action at Coors Field this evening against the Milwaukee Brewers. Brandon Woodruff on the mound for Milwaukee and Herman Marquez for Colorado. The Brewers have lost three straight coming into this one, and the Rockies have won three straight. This is a four-game series. How do you see the Rockies starting it off tonight?
At home, this is an excellent team lately. One of the better home teams in baseball, 10-2 in their last 12 games at home. Continue the momentum. I think they're going to do it. Rockies take 3 out of 4.
Milwaukee is the best team in the Central right now.
Even though they're not playing well lately. But
I understand. I'll call it a split.
Okay.
I'll say it's a four-game split.
Just in case you missed it, news earlier today that Rick Carlisle will be stepping down as Mavericks head coach. ESPN Plus ranked the NBA head coaching openings before that news came out. So I'll ask you guys where you would put the Mavs job among this list and what other changes you might want to make. From bottom to top, the list goes at number 6, the Blazers. Number 5, the Wizards. Number 4, the Magic.
I'm going to write this down. Blazers, yeah. Wizards.
Yeah. Magic.
Yep.
Number three, the Indiana Pacers.
Yep.
Number two, the Pelicans. And the number one job opening in the NBA right now, the Boston Celtics. Wow. Where would you put the Mavs on there, and what other changes might you make to that list?
That's quite a list, considering you got some serious superstar status on most of these teams. Because at first blush, you're thinking, well, how can the Mavs not be on top of the list because they have Luka? Well, the Blazers have Lillard. The Celtics have Jaylen Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they also
have Jason Tatum.
And then you look at the Pelicans. Who do they have? Zion Williamson. You can make a case all of those teams, well, really, besides maybe the Pacers and the Magic, have superstars.
I mean, the Magic, the thing with the Magic is you have the glory of no expectations, because they're basically...
You don't want that job.
You don't want that job.
You got R.J. Hampton and Gary Harris.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
I forgot. Well, listen.
Yeah. They're starting from zero.
You always have expectations in Boston. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have them in New Orleans or Indiana or Orlando. I'm sorry, you're not going to have them in Washington, D.C. And even though Portland is the only show in town, talking about the Blazers, the only show in town, there is some pressure there.
There is pressure, and there's accountability. Now, with the Mavs, you assume they're going to give Luka Doncic the max contract, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'd have to say the Mavs are number one here. Even though there are some whispers about a little bit of organizational dysfunction, it's a roster that it's already a playoff roster. Doncic, his best day should still be ahead of him. And you do have an owner in Mark Cuban who can be a little crazy, but is committed to winning.
Right.
You don't have to worry about an owner saying no when you need something when you have Mark Cuban. If you say, we need better machines in the weight room, he'll say, fine. And there's something to that compared to other situations where the owners might scrutinize every dollar. That's not the case with the Mavs. The Mavs have to do the best job on this list.
I'll say that the Celtics have the best job on the list for this reason. Yes, they have high expectations. They have a very good roster, but they also have something that the Blazers don't have. And the Blazers don't have.
17 championships?
No. The Blazers don't have, and the Mavericks don't have.
Okay.
They don't have to play in the Western Conference.
True. But what you do have there is the fact that your boss is the guy you're replacing in Brad Stevens.
Oh, well, listen.
Stevens is overseeing the entire operation now. And if you don't...
That's okay.
That's okay, but
that's okay.
If you don't do well, there's a very realistic possibility that Stevens could come down and say, I can do better myself
if
we're struggling.
If Brad Stevens is a hothead, then yes, you're right. He doesn't strike me as a hothead.
He's not a hothead, but at the same time, he's going to want to succeed. And so,
I don't know what type of personality he has. I don't know if he has a long fuse or a short fuse. What I'm saying is they play in the Eastern Conference, and they have a lot of talent, and they underachieved. And the truth is, if you were the head coach, you could look at Brad Stevens and say, what the hell did you do with this roster?
Just in case you missed it, Nikola Jokic gifted DeAndre Ayton a signed jersey with this message. He said, to my brother D.A., you are beast. Keep up the good work. Signed the Joker and his real signature with the number 15 next to it. And DeAndre Ayton seemed pretty happy about this, posted a picture of it on Twitter.
Yep.
If you could have a signed jersey from one player from each of the four major sports, what four players would you pick? Currently playing.
Okay, because I was going to start dusting off names like Henry Aaron and so forth. Okay. Currently playing.
Let's go back and forth. Pick a sport.
All right, I'll start with football. You go first.
Tom Brady.
Actually, Tom Brady be my choice, too, in terms of value.
He should be everybody's choice, unless you're a diehard Broncos fan or diehard of your own team.
Specifically, I want a Bucks jersey, though.
Oh, I would take Tom Brady. He's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
All right,
basketball.
Basketball, I would take... I've always liked Steph Curry. I'll take Steph Curry.
LeBron James. I'm going chalk here. Why wouldn't I? Next.
Hockey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Going to pick the last year's Conn Smythe Trophy winner in the playoffs, Victor Hedman.
Okay. You know, I'm going to go off the board for 200.
Okay.
You know whose game I love?
Yeah.
Vegas captain Mark Stone.
Okay.
I like him a lot. Yeah. I just do. And I'm not going chalk there. Yeah. And our final is baseball.
Ronald Acuna.
Oh, yeah. You're a big, you know. I'll go Chalk. I'll go Mike Trout.
All right.
Is that it? Is that what we got? Is that the show, or we got one more?
I can do one more for
do
you.
Do one more.
Let's do one more. Let's do it. More.
All right. Just in case you missed it, featured on Madden 2022's cover, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. This is the first time that we'll have a pair of players on the cover since Larry Fitzgerald and Troy Polamalu shared the honor back in Madden 2010. Is this the right pick, or could they have gotten a little more creative than just picking two quarterbacks? Could they have maybe picked an up-and-comer or not just the most important position on the field? Who are some other players you think could have been in the running for this Madden cover?
I love the pick, and I think it's creative, and you have two guys, and it's the passing of the torch, and it's the two guys who were in the Super Bowl last year. I think this is brilliant. Just a wee bit better than Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, and the thing is, people are like, oh, Madden curse, Madden curse. The Madden curse has been blown.
I hope there is a Madden curse.
Well, no, the year that Patrick Mahomes was on the cover of Madden, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so much for that.
The Madden curse is dead, but you know what? I love this choice.
You know
the two of them. It's symbolic.
Can I tell
what it is?
The SI jinx is real. Can I tell you why?
Tell me.
Because when I was growing up, Cindy Crawford was on the swimsuit issue. I wrote her a letter asking her to go out on a date, and she never wrote me back.
I'm sorry. How heartbroken you must have been.
I'm not heartbroken. I totally made that up. Okay, that was Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it. In case you don't know, it hailed last weekend. And if your roof got damaged, or if hail comes and your roof gets damaged, there's only one place to call in town, and that is Masterpiece Roofing. So if you call for a free roof inspection, they can show you how they can get your insurance company to pay for your entire roof. Why should you pay for it? That's what you pay insurance for. And Masterpiece Roofing is in your corner fighting for you to make sure nothing comes out of pocket. You know what? That's why they were recently voted Denver's best roofing company. So let Masterpiece turn your home into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex and Danny, great job today. Same with you, Mace. I will try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.